Hey there. Ready to dive into something incredible? We're talking glycolysis today. It's like the powerhouse behind everything your body does.
Absolutely. It's the fuel for the machine. Without it, well, we wouldn't be here.
Right. So glycolysis, it sounds kind of like, I don't know, a complicated chemistry thing. Not exactly a light topic, right?
You're not wrong. But honestly, it's way more interesting than it sounds. Imagine taking like a big plate of spaghetti that's your carbs,
Okay,
okay?
I'm with you. I love spaghetti.
Now, your body breaks those carbs down into glucose. That's glycolysis, taking that big plate of food and turning it into energy.
So it's like breaking it down into smaller bites our body can actually use.
Exactly. And get this, it's not just us. Almost everything alive uses glycolysis. Plants, animals, even tiny little bacteria.
No way. So it's like a universal language for energy.
I like that. A universal language for energy. And it's happening all the time in almost every single cell in your body.
Wow. Okay. My mind is a little blown right now. So if it's happening everywhere, how does it actually work? What's going on in there?
Okay, so picture this. A 10-step process, each one perfectly timed, leading to a big energy payoff.
10 steps. That sounds intense.
Well, think of it like a recipe. You got to add the ingredients in the right order, right? We've got two main phases, the energy investment phase and then the energy payoff.
Hold on. Investment. Are you telling me we have to use energy to make energy?
Exactly. It's like you can't start a fire without a spark, right?
Yeah.
Your cells use a little bit of ATP, their own form of energy currency, to get things moving.
Okay, that makes sense, I guess. So what happens during this investment phase?
First, that glucose molecule gets a little tag on it, a phosphate group. An enzyme called hexokinase helps with that.
Hexokinase. Catchy name.
Right. Science loves its names. Anyway, this tagged glucose is now trapped inside the cell, ready for the next step. You know what that means. It's time for another phosphate group.
Two for one special.
You got it. And this time, an enzyme called phosphofructokinase 1, PFK1 for short, lends a hand.
PFK1. I feel like we're going to be hearing that name again.
Oh, absolutely. It's a big player in regulating glycolysis, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So we've invested some energy, slapped on a couple of phosphate groups. What happens to our little glucose molecule now?
Time to split. That six-carbon glucose molecule gets broken down into two three-carbon molecules, each with its own phosphate group.
Like cutting a pizza in half, but with more chemistry involved.
Exactly. Now, these two halves are isomers of each other, same ingredients, slightly different arrangement. We're going to focus on one in particular, glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate, G3P for short.
G3P. Okay, got it. This is where the energy payoff comes in, right?
You're catching on quick.
All right, so we got our G3P molecules primed and ready. Tell me, how do we go from G3P to pyruvate and generate all that ATP? What's happening in this energy payoff phase?
Get ready for a roller coaster ride of chemical reactions. It's like a chain reaction where each step fuels the next, and we end up with a whole lot more energy than we started with. Each G3P molecule goes through a series of steps, each catalyzed by a specific enzyme, transforming it into a molecule called 1-Burac3-bisphosphoglycerate.
Another long name. I'm starting to feel like I'm learning a new language.
It's a good thing we have this deep dive to help us navigate it. But the key point is, during this conversion from G3P to 1-Varzoy-3-bisphosphoglycerate, we gain a free phosphate group, and a molecule of NAD plus gets reduced to NADH.
Wait, back up a second. NAD plus phos. Is that important?
Very important. NAD plus is like a shuttle carrying electrons around the cell, and in this step, it picks up some energy-rich electrons, transforming into NADH. This NADH is crucial because it carries those electrons to the electron transport chain, which is the powerhouse of cellular respiration. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's focus on our 1-Varzoy-3-bisphosphoglycerate for now.
Right, so we have this 1,4-3-bisphosphoglycerate with a high-energy phosphate group attached. Is that where we finally get some ATP back, like a return on our energy investment?
You bet. In the next step, that high-energy phosphate group is transferred from 1,4-3-bisphosphoglycerate to ADP, forming ATP and 3-phosphoglycerate. And remember, this is happening twice. Once for each of the three carbon molecules we got from splitting glucose.
So we're finally in the black. We've recouped our initial investment of two ATP molecules, and we've got two more ATPs.
Exactly, but the journey doesn't end there. The 3-phosphoglycerate molecule undergoes a couple more rearrangements, losing a water molecule to become phosphenylpyruvate, or PP.
PP. Okay, another important molecule I'm
You're
sensing.
sharp. PP is another high-energy molecule, and it's the key to the final step of glycolysis. An enzyme called pyruvate kinase catalyzes the transfer of that high-energy phosphate group from PP to another ADP molecule, generating yet another ATP.
And producing pyruvate. We made it to the end of the line.
We have. And just to recap, for every molecule of glucose that enters glycolysis, we net two molecules of ATP, two molecules of NADH, and two molecules of pyruvate.
That's amazing. And all of this is happening within the cytosol of our cells without even needing oxygen. It's incredible how efficient our bodies are.
It is. And that's one of the remarkable things about glycolysis. It's a pathway that can function under both aerobic and anaerobic conditions. But wait, there's more. We've only just begun to scratch the surface of glycolysis.
There's more. We're out of time for today's deep dive.
Don't worry, we'll pick up right where we left off in our next episode. We'll delve into the fascinating world of aerobic versus anaerobic glycolysis, the fates of pyruvate, and those all-important regulatory mechanisms we keep mentioning.
Sounds like a plan. This has been an incredible journey into the heart of our cells. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next time for part two of our deep dive into glycolysis. Okay, so last time we left off with pyruvate, poised at a crossroads. What happens next? Where does it go?
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure for pyruvate. And the deciding factor, oxygen.
Oxygen. So are we talking like when you're out of breath after running versus just, hanging out?
Exactly. Let's start with what happens when there's plenty of oxygen that's aerobic respiration. Pyruvate takes a trip to the mitochondria, those little energy factories in our cells.
Mitochondria,
Yeah.
right? Don't they have their own DNA or something like that?
You're right, they do. Fascinating stuff, but we'll save that for another deep dive. For now, just think of pyruvate entering this high-tech energy plant. Inside, it gets transformed into acetyl-CoA.
Acetyl-CoA. Okay, another one for the notebook. What's so special about this molecule?
Well, it's like the golden ticket into the citric acid cycle, sometimes called the Krebs cycle. That's where the real aerobic energy production gets going.
So we're talking serious energy production
Oh,
here.
yeah. The citric acid cycle is a series of reactions that break down acetyl-CoA, producing, let's see, carbon dioxide, stuff we breathe out,
Yeah.
and a bunch of electron carriers.
Like NADH and FADH too, those little energy shuttles.
You got it. They're loaded up with energy, ready to deliver it to the electron transport chain. That's the final stage of aerobic respiration.
The electron transport chain.
Yeah.
I'm getting flashbacks to high school biology.
Think of it like this. If glycolysis is the warm-up and the citric acid cycle is the main event, then the electron transport chain is the grand finale. It uses the energy from those electron carriers to create a ton of ATP, way more than glycolysis alone.
So it's all connected, but what happens if we don't have enough oxygen? Like during a really tough workout?
Ah, that's where anaerobic respiration comes in. Instead of the mitochondria, pyruvate goes through fermentation. It becomes lactate.
Lactate, that's the stuff that builds up in your muscles, right? It makes you sore.
That's what most people think, but it's actually a bit of a myth. Lactate levels do rise during intense exercise, but the soreness, that's from tiny muscle tears, not the lactate itself.
Seriously, I always thought lactate was the bad guy.
It gets a bad rap. It can actually be transported to other tissues, like your liver. There, it's converted back to glucose. Gluconeogenesis, it's called.
Gluconeogenesis. So the opposite of glycolysis.
You got it. It's like hitting rewind on the whole process.
Wow. Our bodies are amazing. It's like they always have a backup plan. So we've got aerobic and anaerobic pathways. But I feel like there's even more to this story, right?
You're right. There's always more to discover. Pyruvate can also be transformed into oxaloacetate, and that's important for both the citric acid cycle and gluconeogenesis.
It's like pyruvate is a jack of all trades.
Exactly. And all of these pathways are constantly adjusting, responding to your body's needs, which brings us to the intricate world of glycolysis regulation.
Regulation. So it's not just about whether we have oxygen or not.
Nope. There are a bunch of factors at play, things like hormone levels, energy demands, even what you've eaten recently. It's all connected.
This is blowing my mind. So to wrap things up, we've got glycolysis, this ancient pathway that converts glucose into energy. It's happening in almost every cell in our bodies all the time. And depending on the situation, pyruvate, the end product of glycolysis, can go down different paths, leading to even more energy production or even the creation of glucose. And it's all carefully regulated to make sure our bodies are running smoothly.
Perfectly summarized. It's a beautiful example of how our bodies maintain balance, even at a microscopic level.
It really makes you appreciate the complexity of life, doesn't it? Well, that's it for our deep dive into glycolysis. It's been an incredible journey.
Absolutely. I hope you all learned something new today.
And remember, keep those questions coming. Until next time, stay curious.